So, deacons, it's nothing. It's a biblical term, but it's one that maybe we live out in different ways, but the Bible doesn't represent. I'm not going to ask people to give stories, but you might have been in a church and say, oh, our deacons were upright. Sometimes deacons act as an elder board. Sometimes they just end up being on committees. But in some churches, they're really what I think they should be. Those who are serving. The Bible helps us to understand some about them, but it doesn't say a ton that speaks into how they live and do their functions, but maybe the very brief word does. So there are two arguments of where the word diakonos comes from. The first part of that word is dia, like diameter. And it means what moves through, not just halfway, but the Greek sort of from all angles. It just moves through and permeates. The second is where people argue, and when academics write multiple books and articles arguing something, I usually just give bold points and say, because they're way smarter than I am. One group will say that second part of the word has to do with dust, and that through the dust give this image of someone who's constantly moving and working, they're kicking up dust as they go. The other one says it has to do with being set in motion. So they're known through their constant motion. To me, those are both saying the same things, right? These are people who are constantly doing something. It's great that we have people who are overseeing things and sitting in rooms and studying. These aren't the deacons, though. They're growing in all this spirit, but these are people who are servants in a very unique way. I think it actually begins in the Bible in Acts chapter 6. So let me read Acts 6, 1 through 6. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Lord. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Okay, let's talk about this passage a little bit. There's so much we could preach if I just had time to preach on Acts 6, 1 through 6, but we don't. So here's what happened. The church, in the book of Acts, if you remember, it's learning how they follow Jesus together. He has left, and he's told them, you will be our witnesses. And as they're preaching in the same place as Jesus did, with the power of the Spirit like Jesus did, thousands of people come to Christ. They go from a small group to a mega church in about a week's time. So organizationally, there's a lot that has to happen. And one of the particular issues that comes up has to do with, it seems originally with resources, but may have something to do with cultural differences too, and how we see ourselves as different people groups. The widows need to be cared for. And people are giving out food. And the Hebraic people are giving the Hebrew widows the lion's share, if not all of it. And the Hellenistic Jews, who are Greek in their culture, different in their background, different in their language and customs, are being ignored because they're a minority group. The apostles are called and said, guys, fix this. And their answer is, we'll do it ourselves. We're going to be the super apostles and take care of everything. But we have a job description. We think it's actually really important that we stick to that. And you're godly people who are meant to serve the church. Pick godly people from among the congregation and we'll set them aside to do these tasks. Now, side interesting note, every person they pick has a Hellenistic name. So I think they were saying, you know, we actually recognize as the body, we want to address this. We don't want this toxic thing here anymore. Can I just say, in a world where there's so much divide right now, church, we need to be the men and women who stand and show the world a different way to bond and not divide. That we recognize sort of one group of people, sinners. And when we come to Jesus, we're part of his church, regardless of your cultural background, your economic status, your gender, or anything else. So they're working really to live as one. Now they say pick 7 men, but we know by Romans, the writing of the letter to Romans, in Romans 16:1, there's a woman named Phoebe who's called a deaconess. We know in the first century and second century in Latin, They use the term ministri, which is a really good Latin translation of the word diakonos, and they talk about the men and women who were ministri. We've had these people at Terra. In fact, there are more than we're probably going to call out as deacons, men and women who are constantly in motion and serving and doing these things. I have a bias about biblical leadership in the church. I don't believe it's something we make. I don't believe it's something that we say, if you can go through this class, you're going to be ready. Those things may help equip you. If you have leadership paths, we can help people on. I believe people are already serving. We just try to recognize them. I believe that about elders. I believe it about deacons. We're not trying to make things. We're trying to be remedial students of what God is doing in our church and say, oh, I see that. That woman is constantly serving. She's actually one of our choices. That's great. What's talked about in the Bible isn't so much their task. In that one circumstance it is, but we don't want to say that's for every single circumstance. The deacons are only supposed to serve Greek and Hebrew widows food once a week. Like, that's not what we're going for. That's just an action that they did. And the Bible actually speaks a lot more, both with elders and deacons, about the character of these men and women than anything to do with what they do. Those tasks were variable. If you study church history, you'll find it. You'll find deacons who are helping people before baptism, deacons who are visiting the sick. You find all sorts of tasks. The character is critical. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, kind of crash those two words. In 1 Timothy, Paul is talking to Timothy about the way church should work and the leaders there. He spent time talking about elders in the passage before, and now he says, deacons, likewise. And, you know, I have a different translation up here intentionally, so I'll actually turn to this one. Deacons, likewise, must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons. They're beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife, good managers of their children, their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Jesus Christ. Nothing about the tasks, but all about what kind of people they are. People who are dignified. They don't break into the lowest common denominator walls of the church. They don't engage in a life that looks really bad on Saturday night and cleaned up on Sunday morning. They're not people who are prone to give their lives to substances rather than Jesus. Now, note in the Mediterranean, they said not addicted to much wine. Apparently a little wine, it doesn't surprise you if you're from Italian extraction that a little wine is always going to be okay in the Mediterranean world. They can't be greedy people. They can't have money as their motivation. This is one where I would challenge us as an American community. One of our great virtues is that we're pushed to work hard in America. That's why we're so busy. But sometimes I wonder if we don't flirt with the deadly sin of greed and haven't in the past done really evil things because of the deadly sin of greed. And in the 80s came up with a phrase to try to remarket greed as a good thing and called it money motivated. What the Bible says is, these are not men and women who just look for dollars. That they recognize that at some point, all that stuff and they themselves go away, so don't spend your life looking only for those things. They have to be people who have a good conscience. They live their faith, not just know their faith. It says they'd be tested, and that's sort of the watching, I think, that people recognize about them. Then in some of your Bibles, it says, likewise, the wives, or in the New American Standard, which is the most literal English translation, says, likewise, the women. Now, there are some people you will run into and say, oh, you shouldn't have female deacons. I disagree with that based on what the Bible says, how it's written, that it doesn't say up in the elder passage, likewise, the elder wives should do this. I think the translation is better, likewise, the women. It does seem like Paul had a bias and was just thinking about himself and other guys when he's saying, guys, do this, guys, this. Oh, yeah, the women too. And then says, what perhaps was a common sin in that day for women, surely not today. They're more communicative, and with many words, there can be sins. So he says, they can't be gossips. Listen, I grew up with Italian aunts. I'm just saying. Paul knew what he was saying to people about me. They can't just be telling everybody all the business of everybody that they're going to be exposed to. And says, let them be faithful in their family life, to be good spouses and good parents, because these are men and women who will shepherd and serve us, and it's really important then that they be be those kinds of people with the people they love and know the most in their homes, so that we can have confidence that we do that in the church. The first time we talked about Deacons of Terror was 9 years ago. I found an email to a pastor who's no longer on his staff. He's in Florida somewhere, fighting seasonal affective disorder of his life. And we were talking about it. And after a while, I said, you know, I'm not sure I want to do this. Because you give people titles and people get squirrely. We all do. And if they're doing good, why don't we just let this go on for a while? At some point, though, we'll have to sort this out. And as our church has grown, the organization of the church becomes more important. And we need people who are over certain areas. We prayed about it. I can tell you the elders spend about 2 months getting together every Monday to spend 3 or 4 hours each one of those Mondays thinking about what ways the church needed to have servants, what lanes they needed to work out, considering who these people were, praying for them. There were a lot more people talked about than we were on the list because we have a limit. But I want to introduce you to the first 10 men and women who will be deacons of Terranova Church, and then have them be able to take those vows up front, and then we'll pray for them together. So as I call up your name, please join me up on stage. Ryan Dubois will be the deacon of facilities. It's kind of one of the ones that you think about as really traditional roles, right? Just taking care of the place that people of God are in. Jackie Martin will be the deacon over finances. And side note, I'm not going with deaconess. That's not really a word. They're deacons, and they're men and women deacons, so let's just call them deacons. She will be our deacon over finances. Daryl Bush is our deacon over worship tech. They don't list that one in the Bible, but trust me, I'm convinced the devil attacks computers and projectors more on Sundays than anything else. Scott and Megan LaMountain will serve together as the deacons over Terra Kids. Eric and Betsy Westervelt will be deacons over benevolence, that work of being able to give gifts and take care of those in times of their great need. Corey and Candace Bailey will be deacons together over connections. We struggle the word a little bit. The word that was popular when I came into the church world was assimilation. But everyone felt that sounded too much like something work does. I don't even know what that is, but we moved on from that to connection, not assimilation. Melody Stasik will be our deacon over counseling. Some of you will know Melody from her counseling career or from her work in redemption groups. And there's one more. We need someone who could work with all the deacons. Deacons won't need as a board. They're going to be busy, and emotions move with us. We need someone who can serve and help all of those deacons and be at elder meetings to be a voice for the deacons and the elders and a voice to carry what the elders say back to the deacons. We need someone who knew the church, we need love of the church, had proven himself to be a servant, understood that, and lives for Jesus. And while I got different people in different lanes and ideas, there was only one person that I would choose to be that lead deacon in that role. And so Dennis Gardner, you come up here. We appreciate that, my brother. So I'm going to ask the elders also to come on up at this time and join me up here wherever many are here. She's going to get her first prayer up. Who wants it? Tori might be. Please join me as we pray for these men and women and install them as our deacons of Terranova Church, our servants to go through the gospel. Gracious Father in heaven, we ask that you would watch over these men and women, give them deep consideration for the vows they'll respond to, give them hearts for this church even more significant than what we've seen so far. Protect their families, Lord, from the works of the evil one, who always tries to undo your good and gracious works, Lord. Bless them with head, hand, and heart to be able to love and serve you and do that, this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to ask you guys this. Do you believe that God has called you to serve Terranova Church as deacons, and you purpose to undertake this call as unto the Lord? Do you commit to be faithful in pursuing Christ in you and from that to reveal Christ in your service to this congregation. As deacon, will you commit to work at peace under the church elders and with diligence and humility toward all the saints at Terra Nova Church for the betterment of the bride of Christ, his church, to the glory of God in the power of the Holy Spirit? Tara, let me introduce you to our servants, our deacon board.